to my iPhone Android.
You are listening to A Penny and a Peswa, a podcast hosted by Ursula Imra.
Give you my necklace, spend. Give you my last cash, spend. I show you my best friend, friend. I thought we in this together. Give you my necklace, spend. Show you my best friend, friend. I give you my last cash, spend. Everything I do, I
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of A Penny and a Peswa. I am your favorite host, Ursula. And today, again, I am joined by my lovely co-host, Delaney, also known as Bashman D. Please give a round of applause.
Thank you. You're far too kind.
But yeah, if you want more of his information, please check the description box for his social so that you can keep up with him. And while you're at it, you might as well follow A Penny and a Peswa on Instagram as well. And follow me on Instagram as well. But today we are doing part two. We are going to discuss the second half of the Blue Therapy series. We're going to do it a little bit differently today. We're gonna, chit-chat about the rest of the episodes. And then after that, we are finally answering your relationship questions and reacting to your horror stories. So, yes, that's what we're doing today. So, we're just gonna get into a little debrief of Blue Therapy and just discuss our overall thoughts on the various couples, that is Chioma and Paul and Deborah and Jamil. But Delaney, let me know, what do you think about Chioma and Paul's relationship overall?
I personally think that most people would call it toxic, and I feel like yes, there was a high level of toxicity in their relationship, but I just feel that it was because their communication was not strong. They both weren't hearing what the other person wanted to say, or maybe they were hearing but they were not listening. And I feel that even when each of them was voicing out their problems, they weren't saying the actual thing that they had a problem with, but they were revealing the surface of the problem. And so I think that with better communication, I think that they would be a good couple. But that's my opinion. What do you think?
I think regardless of whether honestly, I'm going to take a dig at Paul.
I knew it.
I just don't like that guy. Mm-hmm. I honestly feel like Paul doesn't want to listen to anyone. So yeah, I feel like I generally think that they communicate well, funny enough. But then I would say that Paul refuses to listen to anyone because he thinks he's always right. And one thing about Chioma is that she failed to take herself out of a toxic situation, which I know is hard. I've been there before. It's hard to get yourself out of a toxic situation, but there are enough red flags for her to know that, okay, she has to vamoose, because I don't know. You already know how I feel about Paul. And also, I kind of wanted us to talk about this, but so remember when we recorded the first episode?
Yeah.
That morning or the night before, Paul had come out with a video talking about how the whole Blue Therapy thing was an act and it was staged and it wasn't real and all that. And I was like, oh, okay then. Let's see what the other people say. Tell me why it's been over a month, maybe a little bit more, And no one else from the Blue Therapy series, even the producers, the director, and everything, no one else has come out to say it was staged. Or, like, why is he the only one saying that it was staged? Question mark. That is a major red flag. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I just think that the show served as a conversation starter for masses. And I feel that they are trying their best not to ruin the illusion for anybody who fell in love with the kind of storyline that they put out there. And so I just think they're trying to preserve that whole story. I think it's like WWE, you know?
Yeah.
For those who don't know what WWE is, that's World Wrestling Entertainment or something like that. But it's like, it's all staged, you know, all SmackDown, Raw, all the wrestling is all staged. And you hear one or two wrestlers coming out to confirm that it's all staged. But there are some people who keep stating to their grave that it was real. It was 100% authentic. And so I think that when you're selling a storyline, you know, majority of the cast selling that story will stick by the story or not address any rumors, just so that the masses can still believe the storyline that they put out there. And I believe that everything that they put out there in the show is happening in real relationships today. And so I think it's allowed. It's allowed for them to pretend.
But if they're pretending, why is it that Paul is the only one who has come out to say it? Why don't all of them? Because I think it's quite serious, especially because he was with Chioma, that they literally had an abortion within their relationship, within their storyline. So I feel like she should, if it is all staged, she should also come out and say something, because abortion is actually a serious issue. It's very emotional and a touchy topic for some people. So if you're, well, maybe this is just me being very critical, but if you're going to stage or act something out, because we're actually out here thinking that he literally emotionally abused her in that situation, and they're going to come and tell us it's staged, then everyone needs to come out and say, okay, yeah, it was staged.
I think that Paul had the most reason to come out and try and reveal to everyone that the show was staged and some of the storylines were put together for them, because he was the one who was getting most of the negativity. Do you get?
Of course.
And, you understand? And right now, his biggest hater is you. And I'm sure if you see him somewhere, you take off your heels and slap him on the head.
I said, so, I'll put a fork in his eye. He really didn't bother me. Like, I will literally take off my shoes. If he sees me again, he should run.
So you see why he has to come out and clarify? Do you see?
It makes it worse, honestly.
He just means he's good at his job. Leave Paul alone.
But I need to ask you a clarifying question. So are you trying to tell me that you like Paul?
I'm not trying to tell you that I like Paul. I'm just trying to tell you that I've been immature before and I may be immature again. I don't know. And so my voice will always be the voice who I'm always the devil's advocate. You know, I think I've gotten to a point in my life where I've made enough mistakes that I'll argue for Chioma, I'll argue for Paul, I'll argue for all of them, because I feel like they all made mistakes in their own right. And I'm always trying to look at it as, you know, I feel like when we watch reality shows, right, it's easy to say, oh, Kim Kardashian is messing up, how can she do something so dumb, right? I think that these reality shows give us a chance to see the decisions we would make on a larger scale. Do you understand? Or if things were different. And so I'm always trying to see how or why the roots of the reason why the person is doing what they are doing. And I can see reasons for Paul why he does some of what he does. I'm not saying it's good, but I'm saying that I feel like there's a good intention, like deep down. Jameson. Yeah. Shout out to Paul. Wherever you are, Paul, wherever you are, I understand you to an extent.
So indirectly, you are not I'm not saying this could be you, but mm-hmm. you feel like one day you could be in Paul's shoes where you are the toxic person in a relationship.
No. No.
So then what's
that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to say that, you know, maybe in the past, do you understand it? Maybe my exes will have to clarify this. So wherever they are, you know. Yeah, do you understand? I'm just saying that maybe in the past, there could have been times where I may have exhibited like signs of toxic masculinity, which is clearly what some of what Paul was doing. Most of all of what Paul was doing.
Yes.
Do you understand? And I feel that in a case where I think, you know, I touched on this and I'll keep touching on this. Chioma says Paul was always faking it, and in the end, he would always be trying to make back the money that he blew. In the end, I saw that the main thing that she was trying to say was Paul was not spending enough time at home. Paul was not spending enough time with her, you know, and it was because he was always blowing big amounts to get big clients, and in the end, he would need to make that money back. So again, the major problem wasn't that he wasn't spending time at home. The major problem was he was going big in order to make bigger. But that was his character trait. And it was something that Paul had been doing before he met her. She knew that was what he was doing. And so again, for me, with that particular problem, you know, I feel I will not put it all on Paul, because it's something that he has been doing. It's something that has been helping him succeed. And so that's where the devil are. You know, I argue for Paul for a bit, you know, just a bit. I know you're not happy with me, but I'm sorry.
I have to argue for my gender. I mean, I understand you to an extent, right?
Yeah.
You know, I understand you. I understand why you would defend Paul. I'm trying to put myself.
But yeah, so disclaimer. I'm not on the team of toxic masculinity, and I don't think I'll go back to that. I feel like I've exhibited certain traits of that before, but I don't think I'm going back to that. You know,
that'd be interesting to discuss. We should discuss that later on in the episode. Whether we've been toxic in our relationships before. I know I've been toxic. I'm toxic. You know what? We'll talk about it later.
Thank you for admitting. Thank you. You heard it here first, guys.
Please.
You even got Ursula to admit that she has been toxic before.
I mean, I'm not even going to deny it. But we'll talk about that later in the episode. So next, I want us to talk about Deborah and Jameel's relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know. I know a lot of people didn't watch the aftermath because we actually had to pay.
Exactly. So cheap people like me, I didn't watch it.
Me, I only paid because I had just received some money and I was like, you know what? Excuse me. I don't know. I have gas. Anyways.
Mm-hmm.
In the reunion episode,
mm-hmm.
Jameel and Deborah had... Well, okay. First, let's talk about our general overview of their relationship. Honestly, Jameel cheated. So I'm just going to start. I'm going to be biased. Jameel cheated.
Yeah.
So he's a hoe. Yeah, I feel like in that relationship, even though Deborah was being a little bit crazy because she was doing too much, like, I honestly feel like if I were in her shoes, I would have just stepped away from that. Because honestly, I just, like, no, even if I like you very, very much, there's only so much I can tolerate, so much disrespect I can tolerate. She was out here going to wherever he was, checking up on his phone. I don't have time for that. If I can't trust you without going the extra mile, then I don't think we should be together, because I'm trying to, like, I have other things going on in my life. The last thing I need to worry about is whether or not my man is, like, cheating on me on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I feel like she was kind of, like, you know, a little bit too much in that respect. And also the whole, she wants her man to buy her Louis bag and things. Like, if you can't, like I said earlier in the other episode, if you can't buy it for yourself, don't expect someone else to buy it for you.
Preach.
but like, yeah, overall, I think, yeah, Jamil was kind of a hypocrite also. But yeah, what's your general overview of the relationship?
Well, I think that, yeah, you know, it's funny how when the whole thing began, he was, you know, what'd you bring to the table, you know?
That question. His
confidence.
Really irritating. What did you bring to the table? Excuse you, have you not seen me? Sorry, anyways.
And so, you know, his confidence was very high. Now I get to the end of the episode, all that energy just dissipated. And again, I feel like that communication thing, it comes up again. Communication will always be the reason that, for me, is one of the major reasons that a couple will either succeed or fail. And, you know, I feel that as soon as she started pressing him about it, that, okay, why are you always on your phone? Why don't you want me to see your phone?
Yeah.
If he had come clean and said, okay, this is the reason, then maybe they would have figured out a way. Okay, do you think it's going to be a problem? If it's going to be a problem, do you want us to talk about it and see how we can move forward?
Mm-hmm.
If not, then maybe you do have feelings for this person. Then let's see how we can go our separate ways so that you can concentrate on that, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel that could have solved, you know, the drama that we eventually saw on screen, because that secrecy that had to come out on TV, you understand? Mm-hmm. If that was a real relationship, or if you found out that your boyfriend or girlfriend was cheating, and you had to find out with other people there, or you had to be the last to know, like everybody else knew, and then you, like, that thing can scar a relationship. And honestly, it's possible that you and that person could be good, but because of that scar, that whole relationship will just never make it anywhere.
And yeah.
So for me, what I would say is, I wish that Jamil, because, you know, I can't put my hand on my chest and say I've never cheated before. Do you understand what I'm saying?
But wait, I just feel that. Wait. You're not just gonna say, you know what, we'll get to it later on.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that he should have come clean before the therapy. I feel like he used the therapy as an excuse to come clean to his woman. And so that's a red flag. And I mean, in my opinion, that why do you need somebody else to be able to communicate with your woman? Do you get?
Right.
And all that secrecy, all that hiding. For me, Jamil, I'll give him the L on this one. Do you understand what I'm saying? Even though, again, Deborah, that's her name, right?
Yeah.
she has her own problems, as you're saying. She's too inquisitive. That trust. Trust somebody. Either you trust them or you don't. And so on this particular issue, you see, on Paul and Chioma, I'll always be defending Paul a bit. But I feel like on this one, I agree with you 100%. Deborah was being, but Jamil could have done better.
Yeah, I feel like with that relationship, both of them had, you know, they both had equal wrongs.
For me, because it's my gender, I'll be harsher on Jamil and say that his wrong for me was more. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I
can afford to say that because I'm immune. So yeah.
I feel like Deborah was, you know, I feel like the only reason why I have a problem with Deborah is because she falls into the stereotype of a crazy girlfriend. It's true. And if you actually think about it, that it's very unnecessary. Like, if you have to do all that when you're in a relationship, like, you're not even married. You're not even married. You're just in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do all this sneaking around, checking up his phone for then. It's not really, because if this is who you're going to marry, then you guys are really going to be running around in circles. But honestly, I just wanted to hit on the fact that, and we don't even have to talk about this, but I can just say this and we'll just leave it where it is. But yeah. Jamil called Deborah a harlot. And if you don't know what a harlot is a prostitute, my dear listeners.
Read
your Bibles. He called Deborah a harlot. because during the period that they had broken up, after she had found out that he cheated, Deborah went on, she tried to move on and started talking to another guy. And this was like, you know, apparently it was like a 6-week period. So it was a while. 6 weeks is not like 2 months, more or less.
Yeah, well, so, a month and a half. That's
two months. Like a month and a half. So like she met this guy and they had sex. And then she told Jamil about it. And he got peeved. He was peeved. He was like, oh yeah, so you're a harlot now, yeah? You know their British accent. You're a harlot now, yeah? You're a harlot now. I'm like, did you just call her a prostitute or I'm not hearing well.
You so heard that very was, well.
That was really interesting. That like one thing I hate is someone who can't take, you can't swallow the pill that you like dishing out. That really irritated me. And I mean, that's all I wanted to say about that. I just wanted people to know that Jamil called Deborah a harlot and he must be called out for it.
Yeah. And I agree. And I think I've even done a video on this, that I feel that, you know, we are still, I mean, we are moving away from it, but we still have so many guys who would say that a female is a hoe for doing the same thing that guys are doing. Do you get? And I feel that that's not fair. At the same time, there's also an increasing number of females who would say that, you know, the guy is evil, he cheated, look at what he did. But then when they find out that a female has cheated, they'll say it's the guy's fault. The guy wasn't loving her right. The guy wasn't giving her attention. And so I feel that it's you know, even though we are still in the time where it's more likely for guys to say women are hoes for cheating and guys are giving high fives, I feel like it's slowly changing and it's becoming a kind of thing where now when a girl is caught cheating, they'll say, oh, but it's because her guy did this. You know?
I mean, again, like, that's very true. And I feel like that's unfair because I can very much say that there have been times that I've, well, am I going to sell myself out? That I've cheated. I've cheated unprovoked. There was no reason for me to cheat. I just decided to cheat unprovoked. And you know what? Let's move on to the next point.
Yeah, guys, you heard it here first. You heard it here first. Wow. I think I love being a co-host, man. I'm making you cheat yourself.
I feel like, you know what? This, yeah, let's move on.
So, yeah. I just feel that at the end of the day, we have to own up for our mistakes.
And
we don't have to have double standards. If you've messed up and somebody else has messed up and you're now calling them a hoe, I'm sorry, but I don't support that. And so, and I know a lot of people are doing it. They can't take what they're dishing out, exactly as you said it. And so I'm also not in support of that at all.
Right. It's time for us to get into the juicy, juicy.
I've been waiting for this.
I know. I'm so excited. We are going to answer your relationship questions. Your relationship auntie and uncle are here to save the day. These are all anonymous. So the first question, how do you get the confidence you've lost because of the actions of your past partners? Let's go. Do you want to go first?
Wow. I like this question, but I think I'll let you go first and then I'll steal some of your ideas.
Well, I guess like as a woman, speaking from a woman's perspective, I've definitely been there where you've been in... my microphone is like tipping over. Where you've been in the situation where like you come out of it and you feel like the ground. Honestly, I've been there before. And to, you know, regain your confidence in terms of like, you know, remembering your self-worth and remembering, you know, like who the fuck you are, you do have to do, I mean, for me, it has worked to do like very, very corny things. So I'll listen to like, you know, some Beyonce or something and, you know, stare at the mirror and sing the lyrics to myself. words mm-hmm. of affirmation, you know, just like actually loving on yourself and reminding yourself that you're a bad bitch. And sometimes just looking for things that make you happy, that bring you joy. And instead of doing things that you are like, you know, because sometimes when you come out of a relationship and leaves you like with low confidence, you tend to want to like, oh, well, let me do this to make the person jealous, or let me do this to make the person, you know, realize what they've lost, which that's not constructive at all. That doesn't help you. It doesn't help the person, because honestly, the person doesn't care anymore, which is why they treated you the way they did in the first place.
Yeah.
So yeah, generally, I would say that like, and it can be hard, but like looking at yourself, stand from the mirror and remind yourself who you are. I can't talk. What? Remind yourself of who you are.
Yeah.
That you are beautiful, you're handsome, you're smart, and there's no one else on the earth like you. And that person is missing out.
Yeah.
And there's better for you ahead. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. What about you?
The first step is to realize that the only confidence you need is the confidence that comes from within. And so you don't need any confidence from anyone on the outside. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody left and you feel that you're not good enough, then that's on you. You know, sometimes somebody can leave and say something like, you're not exciting, or you're boring, or this other person is more fun, or this other person is more handsome. And they can leave you for so many various reasons.
Yeah.
If it hurts and if it makes you lose confidence, it's not because what they are saying is true, but it's because you believe that what they are saying is true. And that's on you. And so the only way you can get your confidence back is to start believing the right things. And what are the right things? Look in the mirror. Look at yourself. What can you accept about yourself? What can't you accept? What can you change about the things you cannot accept? And what can you accept about the things you cannot change? And once you start putting those things down and realizing that what you are right now is enough, and who you want to be is achievable, I believe that confidence can come back. And so every confidence you need is from yourself. And if your confidence is down because of any action or words that a previous partner said, you need to remember that if it's really hurting you, if it's really taking away your confidence, it's not because what they're saying or what they did is hurtful. It's because you've put so much importance on what they did or what they said. And the only way you can be free from that is to remove the importance of what they said. The only thing that can affect you, the only thing that can move you forward in life is your belief and your confidence in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Forget what is without. And that's what I can say on that.
Yeah, I think that was well said. I think that was well said. I feel like it's really hard because sometimes you invest yourself so much in relationships, and when they end, you feel like you're just a shell of your old self. But one thing I've come to learn and realize is that any relationship that leaves you feeling like that is probably a relationship that you shouldn't have entered.
Yeah.
Because you were probably in a state, maybe your confidence wasn't as much as you thought it was before you entered the relationship. Exactly.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you weren't where you thought you were mentally after, because if you were, you would have left that situation unscarred.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've been through it before, and that's one thing I've come to realize, that like, now that I am, you know, self-esteem wise with my looks and my body image and just like everything overall, my confidence is at a different level than where it was a few years ago. Now I can enter a situation and know I'll come out the same person I entered, because that situation does not define me.
Thank you.
But in cases where you let situations define you, it really proves that you are not at the level of confidence that you needed to be at prior to
exactly.
that situation.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
honestly, sometimes it takes these type of situations to realize that, because again, for me personally, it took that type of situation for me to realize that, wow, I wasn't even as confident as I thought I was in the first place.
Facts.
You know,
I've been in similar situations. Yes, yes. Preach. No, preach. I love what you're saying.
So our next question is, how do you choose between a great time and an average long-term person in your 20s? So I think what the person was trying to ask is, how do you choose between playing around in relationships yeah. in your 20s and, you know, getting into something serious?
Yeah, because there's this show called Sex Life on Netflix that I've
not watched
binged.
It yet.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it, but you know, the woman is not contemplating whether she chose average and boring long-term life
mm-hmm.
over having a wild, crazy, youthful life, you know. And so people are always wondering about those questions, and so I like this question. So yeah,
please so do you want ahead. To answer it first then?
No, once again, ladies first. I'll piggyback off your answer.
I don't really, I think honestly, we've come to a stage in the universe where things have changed. I feel like back in the day,
mm-hmm.
like in our parents' time, if you're mm-hmm. a woman, the expectation is for you to be married by a certain age in your 20s and have children by a certain age in your 20s. And those same expectations weren't really placed on men. Now, I think it really depends on what you want personally and what you're looking for in life. I feel like for me personally, I like using myself as an example because it's just easier.
Yeah.
I feel like right now in my early 20s, I wouldn't say I'm looking for a great time because I just don't roll like that. I don't function well when I am quite literally over it. So I personally would right now, I'm open to looking for like a long-term type of thing, but I'm not in a rush. See, so I do fall in between. I think you can very easily, now you can do whatever you want to do. You don't have to choose one or the other. I feel like
yeah.
you can fall in between having a great time and still looking for your long-term person. It all depends on what you want. I don't want to talk too much, but yeah.
Yeah. I think when you look at it as an either or situation, it's as if you're trying to say that you can't have a long-term thing that is a great time. You know, it's like, yes, it's the question is framed as if long term has to be average and great time has to be short term, and the two are mutually exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I'll just say that, you know, again, just that perspective alone for me just tells me that, you know, we just have to look at life and know ourselves. Once you know yourself, it can help you avoid even asking the question, do I choose between average long-term and great time short-term? Because you know yourself enough to be able to find that fine line where the choice you're making is actually a good long-term choice, but it's also a great time. So mm-hmm. that's my answer.
Mm-hmm.
Know yourself. Knowing yourself will help you choose none of them, because I don't feel that you should choose a great time, short term, or average long term. I feel that you should choose the best of the four or the best of both. Do you understand? Which is great time. Some of your decisions will have to be for the short term or living in the moment or being in the present, you know. At the same mm-hmm. time, you also have to think such that when you choose something in the short term or in the present, it doesn't affect you too much negatively in the long term. And while you're thinking of the long-term decisions too, you know, you have to understand that you're not just picking long-term decisions that are average and that will make you bored in the long run, but you're picking long-term decisions that still have great fun value and you will still be passionate about years to come.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So our last relationship question is, how long should a healthy talking stage last before you move things before you move things to the next level? I want to hear from you first, because I feel like most of the time people try and, like, you know, lay the whole moving things forward in the talking stage on women, you know, because, like, we tend to make it drag along. But I've been in I've been in multiple situations where the man is the one, like, dragging things. Like, they're dragging the thing. So I want to know what your perspective is on this first before I give mine.
I think that there's no definite answer. I think it depends on the context. I have had personal experiences where I used a whole year as a talking stage.
Huh?
The relationship still spoiled. And I've had situations where I used 2 weeks for a talking stage. The relationship still messed up. I think that each stage of your life will tell you how long a talking stage should be. I feel that, you know, and this is my personal perspective. When I was in high school, when I was in primary, hey, am I revealing that I was dating in primary?
Yes, you are. Today you're opening your own keys. You guys, you heard it here first. Ladies start dating from primary school. Small child.
If it's experimental dating, I really don't think that the talking stage should be that long. But if you are getting, and when I say that long, I'm just thinking that, you know, a month, because high school relationships sometimes doesn't really go far, you know. And I'm saying a month because in Africa, a month seems like per what I've heard and per what I know, per my perspective, a month is like, you know, it's a normal talking stage for, you know, high school, blah, blah, blah. But when you're older, maybe you've made it to a certain point in life, you're ready to settle down, have a family. I think, again, in Africa, 2-3 months, I think is a good talking stage. You understand what I'm saying? But then again, I know people who have spoken to each other within a week. They've started dating. People on Big Brother, you know, they met each other within a 90-day period. They married. And so I don't think there's any time, but depending on whether you're in high school, you're in uni, you're about to, or you want to get married and settle down, it should move between very short when you're younger to averagely long, a month or two when you're older. That's my view. What do you think?
I mean, I feel like, you know,
be honest.
So I've been told by our youth leader, who's actually my dad. But like whenever he used to talk about, like, you know, marriage and stuff at like youth meetings and stuff, he would say that, like, as a man, if you are talking to a woman for more than 6 months and you're not saying, and like, you're not talking about anything progressive for the future or anything, the woman should leave you. Because, and I kind of agree, I feel like I guess this is defined by what the next stage is, but I think the next level is definitely to start dating. And if we're talking for a month, 2 months, and you think, up to that 2 months, you still can't date me, then I think we should stop talking. Because
how? I agree.
Because it's just dating. Dating does not mean we're, like, you know, in my opinion, I don't think dating is like the same as being in a relationship, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Because I feel like you can still be talking to someone. You guys can be done with the talking stage. You're now dating. But you can also be talking to other people or dating other people as well.
Yeah.
So I feel like once you're in the dating stage, you're not like, so you're not required to be, you know, loyal to that person.
Yeah.
Because you guys are not in a full-blown relationship. So if that's the case, that means things are still not serious enough for you to, like, you know, you're not like fully committed yet. So why should we be talking for more than a month if we're not even going to get into like a full-on relationship? Because we're just dating to get to know each other better. Is that making sense?
It really is making sense. And so and I'm glad that
so you I don't agree with you talking day. To that girl for a year, because you spoke to her for a year only to date her.
Yeah. And it's crazy, man. That's what I'm saying, that the settings are different. Over here, on a more serious, you know, that's why I even went to a month, 2 months, 3 months, because I'm thinking in African, you know, timing. You know, over here, you really have to know somebody. You know, they emphasize the knowing, oh, this is my friend's brother's cousin's sister. Let's talk to her. And then you have to know. But, you know, in the West, you know, people swipe and they're like, okay, this guy looks nice. And then they move. And then within a week, we're dating. Do you get what I'm saying?
Okay, I feel like, because as I'm talking, I'm like, Ghanaians listening to this are probably thinking that I'm some crazy bitch.
Exactly.
But the thing is that in the US, that's the dating culture. Like, and that's exactly how I've always understood it. So even in Ghana, I think that's why people would consider me as a cheater in some relationships. Because in Ghana, when in my head, dating is not the same as being a relationship. Dating just means that we are still talking, but on a more, I want to know deeper stuff about you level.
And so now I can call you and say, let's go and get some lunch. Let's go and get dinner.
Exactly.
Let's
go and watch a movie. That's more of like, okay, I'm now dedicating my physical attention to you. I'm now actually going to make an effort to get to know you more, do things that you like to do. But at the same time, I'm still going to be talking to other people or dating other people the same way.
Yeah. Whereas, over here in Ghana, they make it such a big deal. Like, but anyway.
You see, and that's the thing, because I feel like if I'm just dating someone casually, that shouldn't prevent me from dating other people casually as well.
Yes.
Now, because I feel like at that stage, we shouldn't even be calling each other boyfriend, girlfriend, because we're not like committed.
Yeah.
But then if we are, after the dating stage is where I see a full-blown relationship coming on, then that's where we've both committed to each other.
Yeah.
And we understand that, okay, we are actually like a couple now. Now we are officially a couple.
Exactly.
So then we've done all the preliminary stuff and we're thinking about like, okay, maybe a future together. But even in the dating stage, I feel like that's when you're trying to get to know, okay, what does this person want for their future? Will it work out for me? Ooh, can I adjust to that type of thing? You know, so I feel like it's definitely different dating concepts. Because as I was talking, I was like, people probably think I'm a crackhead or something. But that's just the dating culture here. So
So, again, in Ghana, in Africa, per what I know, I'm saying the talking period should be short. And over here, the short means between 2 weeks and a month. That's 3 weeks. 3 weeks to a month. But anyway, that's my view. I know people will come at me for this in Africa and Ghana. But anyway,
I feel like that should be true, because like, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket.
Facts.
And Facts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that happens very like, it's a very open thing. Like, you're very honest with the fact that, okay, I know we're dating or we're talking, but I'm also dating and talking to like three other people as well. And you're doing the same as well, because again, we can't put all our eggs in one basket. But then along in the dating, you can start being more invested in one person than other people, but then still it's just the idea of not having to limit yourself to one person, even though you're more invested in guys, I'm sorry, but if you're Ghanaian, it won't make sense.
That's why Paul was so offended that Chioma was seeing another guy, because Chioma understood that, okay, we are now getting to the point where we are in a relationship.
Exactly.
And we are exclusive.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. But you know, Paul is more African. Paul is more, you know, old school,
very
old fashioned. And so very traditional. So he's like, no. Even in that stage, we were exclusive. And she's like, what are you talking about?
We were not exclusive. Exactly. Now we're going to move on to our horror stories. these are wow. Anyway, so the first story, I was seeing this guy. we hadn't started dating yet. And then he said I should buy him a lavish birthday present when I went to Ghana. So I'm guessing this person was not in Ghana before that happened. I didn't. Then he now said that we should just be friends. That I'm only, that I'm only using him. I didn't. So basically he's saying I didn't buy him the present. And then he said we should just be friends because I'm only using him so that I won't be lonely. Huh. Bear in mind, he basically ghosted me. And then he finally told me that. When he told me he wants to be friends, I said, is that all? He was angry. First of all,
my gender. Look, honestly, yeah. This guy really over me. Like, my gender will always disgrace me. What is this? So he, rather, who was asking for a lavish gift, is claiming that the girl was using him. Nah, man, this guy is a donkey. That's my reaction. This guy is a donkey. He's a junk. I'm glad the girl didn't even buy the gifts, because as soon as the gift didn't come, all of a sudden, nah, man. I don't support this. What do you think?
I mean, I feel like, first of all, he moved that he was saying that she's coming to use him. He was using her because he's out here making her buy him gifts when she's coming back from wherever she was coming from.
Yeah.
And because she didn't bring, it's obvious that the gift that she didn't bring, Ashino, it really pained
him. Ashino, he's a loser.
It really pained him. So he's over here talking about we should just be friends. And then when she wasn't moved, men and their egos. He was now saying what? He now said, what's it called? He was angry, bro. He's not even making sense. Anyhow, our next story. A guy who started as a summer romance continued with months of dating. He promised to love me forever and was the first man who had ever really shown me what love was. For my birthday, he wrote me the most beautiful love letter I had ever read. But a week later, sorry, these stories are funny. He stopped talking to me. Wouldn't answer my phone calls, anything. I've been there before, honestly. But why did you keep on calling him too? Finally. Why did you keep on calling?
Say it again.
You called once, he didn't answer. It means that he's not. Finally, after a week and a half. Hey.
Wow.
He calls me and says we need to talk. We all know what that means. So I went to his house, an hour away. Oh, this is sad.
Wow.
And he said he didn't love me. And that next time you're going to read the stories, because I can't keep a straight face. And that I had fantasized about our relationship. Our relationship. And one more, I can't talk. It was the worst moment of my life. It took over a year to get over. But what helped the most was the gym. I turned to working out in times of stress, heartache, and I got in the best shape of my life. Can you go first? Because I asked him to hear me.
Oh, Charlie, heartbreak for her. Well, I just feel that in this case, the writer has to take the L, because, you know, again, when you start seeing like the signs that somebody is It's just, first of all, when, wow, how do I, okay, I'll not give the L completely to the writer because the person started off on a good note. Mm-hmm. This thing reminds me of A Fall from Grace, that Tyler Perry movie, you know.
Oh,
I hate
that
it.
Movie.
I hate that movie.
Wow, that was terrible. Movie, wow.
But
the plot was good. The plot was really good. Sorry, don't let me start my film talking. Anyways.
Yeah, I don't like how they ended it. Yeah. But you know how somebody can start off so sweet, so loving, and then all of a sudden they just switch up. Do you understand? Yeah. So, you know, I was about to give the L completely to the writer, but I feel like the beginning really, you know, set her up for the fall. And so I can sympathize with that. And so I'll not give her the complete L. But you said it perfectly when you said after the first call, you should have just...
But no, I feel like, again, talking from an American context, dating is not the same as being in a relationship.
Okay.
And a summer romance is basically a situationship. So if you go from situationship to dating, you can't be out here. Like he said, you are fantasizing about a relationship. He only said that because they're not really in a relationship. You're dating. So... if we're dating and I feel like, oh, it's your birthday, I want to send you a nice message, of course I'm going to do that. But that's still, again, that's why I guess in an American context, you have to understand that the dating stage is not equal to relationship commitment. No.
Yeah.
So someone can be really sweet to you, but he's probably being really sweet or she's probably being really sweet to three other guys or gals. So I feel like this one, the writer needs to take the full L. Also, I'm the type of person that if we're dating, that means we're interested in each other. We've been talking. I've called you one, you've not returned the call, nothing. I've called you two, you've not returned the call, nothing. I'm not even going to call you three so that you come in. I've texted you one, two,
Yeah.
And you're not replying, nothing. Instagram, I'm not even going to go all over. I'm going to text you at one place if you don't reply. Sorry. Call you twice if you don't call back. Sorry. On to the next, because I feel like the message is loud and clear. For
and
me,
clear.
Communication is everything.
I think these assumptions are vetted and approved by the FDA. Everybody needs to hear these messages.
Honestly. Okay. But yeah. That brings us, we need to do more of this, guys.
I'm telling you. All right.
That brings us to the end of this episode. Please join me on the next episode of A Penny and a Peswa, which will be the last episode of season 2. And then I'm bringing you all the spicy juice in season 3. Guys, season 3, A Penny and a Peswa is coming big and strong. I'll talk about it more in the next episode. But Delaney, do you want to tell them your socials?
So once again, I'm Bashman D on Instagram. That's BASHMANDE. Bashman D on Instagram and soon on YouTube. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening, and I'll catch you on the next episode. Thank you for listening to A Penny and a Peswa. Guest information can be found in the description of today's episode. You can stream other episodes of A Penny and a Peswa on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review of 5 stars. See you on the flip side. All these haters so vexed in the best of life. You don't want to test the guy. You be sleeping on yourselves, you test it fly. Throw myself a party, then act surprised. Be the highest in the room when the guests arrive, yeah. Ain't nobody realer. Touchdown, got a couple G's for the dealer. Gang signs out the window, my killer. Life getting sweeter, no use what I dilute my Ribena. So we toast to the good life. Every minute to the full, cause we could die. Pull up open doors and it's suicide. Yeah, 16 bad, and they all by the poolside.